This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Entik. My guest today is the Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, Rajiv Rishakaran, back for his monthly show to discuss all things local government. Today, we're going to be talking about what living with a terrible neighbour is like and also what we can do about them. Rajiv, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
So, as a state rep, and before this, you are a local councillor as well, how much feedback you get from your constituents relates to, you know, having disagreeable neighbours?
Well, actually, it's quite a fair bit. Quite a lot of complaints from residents that comes to me. It stems from disagreement with neighbours. Now, some people are a bit upfront to say so directly, like, I don't like that my neighbour is doing this or that. And some people are not so upfront. They dislike their neighbour and then they find other things to pick a fight about. For example, he parks the car on the roadside and that's illegal, so you must take action. Or he's done some renovation to his house and he's not followed this and that rule, so you must take action on him. So all in all, problems that stem from neighbor conflicts makes up quite a fair bit of the complaints that I receive in Bukit Gasing. And I think this would be somewhat the same in most urban areas in Malaysia. I think having to live close to each other, in close proximity to each other, would definitely give rise to conflicts every now and then. And it's not that uncommon.
Right. So what can someone in the local council do as a state rep or councillor? Should people be going to you or writing to you to complain about these things?
It's okay. It's perfectly understandable that people come to the elected reps for all kinds of problems that they face. So we have an open door policy in Gasing. Our offices is open every week and we receive all kinds of feedback. And we really definitely would listen to you and we definitely would try to help you out wherever we can. I think it's, if you talk about whether the local authority get involved or not, it comes down to what exactly is the complaint. Now, there are some complaints that stem from illegal activities. For example, if a neighbor decides to do some commercial activity in his house, he opens up a restaurant. He starts putting tables outside in his front porch and starts cooking, frying char kway teow in his front porch and serving people that just walk in and sit down on the tables, i.e. a restaurant, and it has happened, then that's a violation of our local government rules. And so, yes, the neighbour has a right to be unhappy about the noise and the smell pollution arising from this illegal activity, and that conflict with the neighbour is basically about that illegal act. So then government can step in and the government should step in to take action against, this illegal business happening in the house. Mm. So some of the problems are these kind of problems. So government then steps in to take action because we have lots of laws that govern how we live in a society, and there's a reason for these laws, is to make sure that we all have somewhat peace and harmony in our neighbourhoods. So those kind of problems are easier to deal with because it's quite clear-cut. The law says you can and cannot do certain things. You just got to live by that. And the neighbour who's unhappy has a right to get the local government to take action. Mm. Then there are problems which are personality-based. Now, this is nothing wrong by the law. It is just attitude, ego, or just different culture and conflict that arises out of this. The man of the house may always like to sit outside the house wearing his shorts and not wearing a shirt. The neighbor does not like looking at that. Mm-hmm. And she's unhappy. But they are, other times neighbors are loud. They fight audibly all the time. In fact, that's a problem I have because my neighbor, I think about two doors away, always has a nightly fight. And my wife is quite irritated that it's very audible from our house, that family squabbles that happen.
How do you deal with that?
It bothers me less than it bothers my wife, or maybe because I have to work late a lot and I miss half the shows. But when you have problems like this, then it's a bit harder because they're not quite breaking a law. This is more of character differences, more of attitude differences. Maybe someone said something offensive 5 years ago and the ill feelings just built up over the years. Neighbors could be inconsiderate for whatever reasons, a multitude of reasons. We have this. Maybe the neighbor just doesn't like you having a dog, but you have a right to have a dog, and your dog may be licensed. So you're not breaking any law. The neighbor just doesn't like the fact that you have a dog. So many reasons could lead to this kind of strife. Now, these problems are a bit harder to solve. I would always would love to suggest that you try to have a conversation with your neighbor and maybe even with a third party. Could be another neighbor that's in between, not so bothered by the situation, to be like a mediator to try to work out the differences. And sometimes it's possible, but a lot of times the fact that the conflict has escalated and to the fact that they come and see the state assemblyman, I think in all of these cases, you can't resolve it. So sometimes they're upfront, they're not happy. It's a bit harder to solve that problem. Sometimes they then find excuses. They try to nitpick on what the neighbor might be doing wrong or what they hope the neighbor is breaking this or that tiny bylaw, and then they would try to get the government to act on that. So I once had a neighbor that was very upset with the other neighbor. Now, at first, the complaint was the renovation, that the neighbor encroached into her house. And the neighbor, when the neighbor did this renovation, you know, when you have terrace houses and the properties are joined, you have common wall and a common fence. When the neighbor took things down and put it up, the neighbor encroached by 1 inch into her property. And she was very, very, very upset. And she insisted that the local authority come in and do something about it. And, you know, the only way we could get down to finally solving that is, you know, to get a land surveyor, a licensed land surveyor to come in, because you're arguing about an inch. Yeah. And really, who was right or wrong in that 1 inch encroachment or non-encroachment? So you had to bring a land surveyor in to settle that, because she was going on that basis that he violated her space. And she was going on that. But her husband was visibly forced to be supportive. But at the same time, you could see he was like, come on, man, let's not fight this anymore. Let's stop bothering the adun about things like this. And a further conversation down the road revealed that the reason why they had conflict was because for years, this neighbor would come back home from work late at night, and then he will take a shower very loudly. And his master bathroom was adjacent to their master bedroom. And her sleep was affected by his late night showers. And I don't know how loud he could sing, but it affected her. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing. He didn't have a nightclub party in his house, but he had very loud showers. And that affected her, and that drove her to drag the local authority in over this purportedly 1 inch dispute. So we have problems like that. And I think as a country, maybe it's time already that we move towards us having a department, a tribunal of sorts to help adjudicate neighborhood conflicts. So we don't have that at the moment.
We have that for high-rises.
We have a tribunal for high-rises. A lot of that is got to do not so much with neighborhood living, but more to do with common property living, like you don't pay your maintenance or your property is leaking into your neighbor's property. But the fact that I don't like your face or you don't like my face, I don't like the way you sing and it's bothering me, and would you stop letting a dog take a piss in the garden because I just don't like that smell? These kind of questions, we don't really have a tribunal of sorts or a mediation body of sorts to deal with. Sometimes friends can help mediate. Sometimes the assemblyman has to get involved. And yes, I kid you not, one issue was because the neighbor let the dog pee in the house, and then the neighbor would then wash the pee. And when the neighbor washed the pee, this diluted pee, this water from washing the porch, would flow on the road and flow in front of the neighbor's house. And that was not acceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like wondering, like, dear neighbor, like, don't you realize that other stray dogs are peeing solid pee in front of your house all the time? So, but people have grouses like this. And I think as we get more more middle class. We have maybe more time on our hands, maybe less fighting for survival as maybe our parents' generation may have had to do. And we have more time to worry about the little things that affect our quality of life. Maybe we need to have, maybe government needs to consider a mediation body or a tribunal of sorts. I think a lot of these conflicts with a competent mediator, we could find a resolution, a win-win, a compromise on both sides. If we can't, then we probably need that kind of tribunal that can say, okay, you know what, this is the government's or this is a tribunal's like judgment and you need to follow this because someone needs to bring an end to this.
Yeah. I think the fact that people go to their state rep is because they need someone in authority to say something.
They want someone in authority, or they just don't know who else to go to, or they feel that state reps will listen to them because some other people are not obliged to.
Are you able to generalize or, you know, see a pattern among like all these squabbles or that are based on personalities? Do they come from neighborhoods that are more affluent or neighborhoods that are more not well maintained?
I would say generally they come from the middle class. I noticed that the poor tend to have less of these squabbles with each other. Not to say none at all, but less. Maybe they're too busy with other things in life to worry about things like this. And the very rich tend to live in very big houses and probably live very far away from each other geographically. So what your dog does probably doesn't affect the neighbor as much because your houses and your compounds are very big. So the rich that live in bungalows tend to have less of this. I think it's the terrace house living middle class that, in my observation, has the most, as well as the condo living middle class.
Okay. Let's take a short break and come back and address some practical steps on what we can do to resolve some of these issues that may not be defined legally, but maybe needs more mediation and a softer approach. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Trot and Dick. Here with me is Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishakaran. We're discussing the role of local councils in dealing with disagreeable neighbours. Tell us if you have a question or a complaint that you like address that maybe you feel people are not listening or your local state reps are not doing enough to address it. Let us know what it is and how you like it to be addressed. We can be reached via WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or Twitter at BFM Radio. Rajiv, you laid out the nature of the problems that you receive, and some might have more grounds than others. So for those that might be seen as petty or trivial, like noise level, for example, if really, you know, that loud shower or that loud singing in the garden, or, you know, someone who gets too comfortable by not wearing a T-shirt in the garden, and this affects the person's quality of life because they live there and, you know, moving away is not feasible in the time being.
No, moving away is not really an option in Malaysia because we have a high home ownership rate. People are not renting and just like, they don't just pack their bags and move.
Yeah.
So, I think that's what's different here compared to, say, America.
So let's talk about noise first then. You know,
all right.
What would your solution be? Let's say all the easy approaches or low-hanging fruits has been addressed. What can they do?
Okay, I think the case of the shower and example that we talked about earlier is something rare. Does not crop up that often. But generally, noise would refer to your neighbors having a party and it's going on until way past midnight. It's affecting you and your kids. You can't sleep. So for noise, specifically noise-related complaints, it's under the police. You call the police. So if you're facing this problem, you don't have to... Of course, you can always talk to your neighbor nicely if you could, but you don't have to. If you want to remain out of like face-to-face conflict, you could just call the police. The police are supposed to come there in a timely manner. And normally the police would give a warning. And people tend to, I've not seen people defy the police when it comes to noise. They will tend to just tone down their sound system.
Most people would be embarrassed as well, I assume.
Embarrassed. I think it's a mix of embarrassed and annoyed. But people, I think people generally would comply. I've not heard of people defying the police on this. The police would know how to arrest you if you defy.
Yeah. So what would be considered, you know, crossing the threshold of acceptability? What would you have to do in order to be arrested by the police?
I don't think we have specified what would be the threshold of noise that the police would come in. But I think suffice to say that if it's beyond midnight, definitely you don't want to be disturbing your neighbors, not to the level that your activities, your whatever it is that you're doing, playing video games, having a birthday party, that sound can travel into the neighbor's house. And I think that may be considered too loud by most people, and then the police will just come and tell you to tone down. If it's a bit earlier, it gets a bit more subjective. So let's say at 9:30 p.m. can you have a birthday party outdoors? It's a bit more subjective. So normally, I think that's at the discretion of the policeman on scene as to finding that balance, not to tell people that you need to stop your birthday party at 9:30 p.m. but maybe just to find some middle ground.
And this rule applies to if you stay near a commercial area, for example, and there are
it's the same. These complaints are normally from house to house. It means from one house affecting another house. We also get complaints from commercial areas that affect houses. So then this would be from the more seasoned places, like mamak shops that show football matches at 3 a.m. If the mamak shop happens to be very near a house, definitely would affect the house. Pubs that don't have proper soundproofing. A lot of these problems can be also dealt with by local government authority when it comes to a commercial residential conflict. So rules that local authorities can have as to what entertainment outlets can open in what proximity to houses. So different local authorities will have different guidelines. Some of them have 100-meter rule, or some have 300-meter rules that you can't have entertainment outlets that near to a house. So different authorities would have different rules. So you got to check with your particular local authority if you're having a problem with a shop that's making noise. So that can be dealt with. If it's a regular thing, that should be dealt with by the licensing in the local authority. If it's a one-off thing, then call the police, let the police come in and just tell them to tone down. Yeah. Or if the police deems that it's a reasonable amount of noise to make, especially if it's before midnight, then maybe you could tolerate your neighbor having that birthday party, you know, once a year. Sometimes we need to have a bit of tolerance to events that may happen in our neighborhood.
Okay. Let's move on to pets then. You raised the example of, you know, excretions at the front of your door, your neighbor's pet. It could also have... There are many variations of this problem, right?
Definitely.
People who walk their dogs and not pick up after their poo. So when is in this instance, what are the range of permissibility?
Well, dogs need to be licensed. So the rules typically in most local authorities, although I think you best check with your specific local authority, is typically 2 dogs in terrace houses and up to 4 dogs in a bungalow house. But because every local authority may have a slightly different rule, you should check with it. So that's for licensing of dogs. We don't have licenses for cats yet. But I think most jurisdictions, when I tried Googling and finding out what happens in other countries, it seems that I can't find a country that has a licensed regime for cats.
Only dogs?
Yeah, dogs. It seems to be a worldwide phenomena, like only dogs. And special wildlife creatures. So if you want to keep a tiger in your house, then that's a whole different ballgame altogether.
Do we have regulations for that?
I'm sure Perhelatan has some rules on that, but I'm not familiar with it, and it's really, really not a common occurrence. Not in the Klang Valley. So we go back to cats and dogs, which are by far the most common pets. Like in PJ, your animals are not supposed to cause a nuisance to the neighbors. That they could go from barking to wandering into the neighbor's house to smell. And so the local authority has a public health department. Every local authority in Malaysia has a public health department. And that department is responsible for coming in and taking and making a decision if the pet is being a nuisance and instructing you to make corrective steps to abate the nuisance.
Right.
Yeah. And generally people comply because we don't want to go to the part where the local authority has to then remove the pet from the house. I don't think we ever go down that far. So we normally, local authorities will come in and issue them a notice that, you know, your pet is doing this, which is a nuisance. So you need to tie up your dog. You should not let your dog wander out of the house into your neighbor's house. You should fix up the fence so that your dog doesn't wander into your neighbor's house. You know, so if there is a need to, or you should restrain your cats. Your cat doesn't go sleep on your neighbor's car. So if there's a need to, let the local authority know the problem that you're having with your neighbor's pet, and let the local authority issue a notice. Let the local authority investigate. Now, if the thing is really too petty, they may not issue a notice. Then it's in their judgment as to whether it's really a nuisance or not. Because if you say that dog barks like 3 barks a day, then like that's normal. Dogs will bark. It's just the non-stop barking throughout the whole night that, you know, you can't sleep down. That's a problem.
Right. So let's stay on public health. Rubbish collection, or the way that they keep rubbish or put it at the front.
Oh, this is not an issue. This is like straight clear cut. You got to throw your rubbish properly. If you don't, you get fined.
Fined by?
MPPJ in the case of PJ or your local authority respectively. And in PJ, if you have a complaint, these kind of complaints are dealt with quite fast. So this is one of the... There are many things that maybe MPPJ may not be doing so well, but this is one thing that they do well. You have to dispose of your rubbish properly in dustbins. You can't burn your rubbish. You can't throw them in drains. You can't just leave your house compound dirty. The local authority can take action.
What is the definition of dirty? Like grass that are not cut, for example, or rubbish that is in the house?
It's a bit hard to specify. Like, you know, if you have more than 5 grams of plastic, then that's dirty. I think it's a bit hard to draw that kind of line. So it's the judgment of the officer. So you got your public health officers, it's their call.
Because I suppose hygiene and cleanliness would be something that neighbours complain about too. The smell or foul stench coming out from a house that is poorly maintained.
Yeah, so that would be the public health officers. Right. He would normally issue a notice to correct to the house, the offending house. Give a reasonable time, depending on what the problem is, 24 hours or 7 days to correct. And if that is still not forthcoming, then they can issue a fine. And in the worst case scenario, which is, I think, quite rare, but I've witnessed it happening, they can go in and clean it up for you. But of course, you know, it gets charged to you.
I see. Okay. So would this apply to, have you seen cases of cookings that were too good, you know, the smell, or
even I've had complaints about
praying
that.
Materials, you know, burning of papers.
Yes, products. I've had complaints about that. Normally when you have this Buddhist, Taoist, Hindu festivals, then yes, you would get some complaints. By and large, I think most neighbours are relatively tolerant. They recognise that these things happen for religious reasons and they put up with it, but occasionally there are complaints.
Right. This would not be considered open burning?
No. Religious rituals are not yet classified open burning. I think let Singapore take the lead on that. If Singapore finds a way to change religious behaviour, maybe the world will learn from it. But I think by far and large, these are not really the problems. But when you talk about the understanding that we live in a multicultural society, then we should also give and take. If you are the one that is conducting that prayer, you try to be considerate. If you're having the wedding or the funeral, maybe funerals a bit, people are really don't mind that, but if you're having a wedding, a birthday party, you try to be a bit considerate with your neighbours. You could let them know beforehand that you're doing this and so they're not taken by surprise. You could let them know if you're planning to close the road so they're not taken by surprise. You could let them know what's coming up. I think that's good neighborly behavior. Right. Why not? Yeah.
And renovation is pretty clear-cut as well?
Renovation is also something that by law is clear-cut because there's endless conflict between houses being renovated and the people that live next to it. Government has set working hours. So in the case of PJ, it's Mondays to Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. You're not supposed to work on Sundays, public holidays, and at night. Mm. So there's a 50-50 thing, you know. You give some peace to your neighbors. At the same time, you have space to actually execute your renovation works. And this is like the compromise. So I know there still will be people that are not happy, like at renovation works that are happening in the middle of the day. They're like, why can't you don't renovate? But it's something that's going to be very hard if we restrict renovations strictly to neighbors' compliance. But if you could be considerate to your neighbors, try to work out something with them. Mm. And, you know, if there are certain special requests, maybe you could try to accommodate it.
Right. Airbnb is another frequent complaint, more so in high-rises than in landed. What is the latest in terms of guidelines on this?
Airbnb in the state of Selangor, I think in fact in most states, it's still not regulated. We do have some complaints, but we don't have that much relative to a number of other issues compared to say the pets and the renovations. I think those complaints are 100 times more than Airbnb complaints. But Airbnb complaints actually come more from landed property in my experience rather than high-rise, because high-rise has far more Airbnb, but those are normally people who are treating it like a hotel. They come in, they stay, they go. They rarely cause a nuisance as compared to the landed properties that are used for Airbnb parties. So, you know, a wedding reception or a birthday party. So the landed properties that are being rented out for Airbnb, those bungalow houses were still a bungalow house with a pool. They are used for, almost always being used for parties. And that drives the neighbors crazy. Mm-hmm. So there is a very clear-cut provision that local authorities can use, is that residential properties for residential purposes, you're not supposed to conduct a business out of it. And the fact that you're renting your Airbnb for a party house on a daily charge or a nightly charge clearly shows that you're doing business. So that, on that grounds, the local authority can come in and take action. So I've had two cases, one that is finished. After sufficient enforcement, they ceased to use the bungalow as a party house. And now another one is ongoing. That bungalow is being used regularly as a party house. And that's not cool. I mean, if you're a landlord, you own a bungalow, you could rent it out for residential purposes. You may get maybe 3,000, 4,000 or 5,000 ringgit a month rent. But if you rent it out as a party house, you get maybe 1,500, 2,000 ringgit a night. Mm. So if you rent it every weekend, not to mention a few times in the week, you definitely make a lot more money. Mm. And that's good by your entrepreneurial instincts, but that's horrible for your neighbors that have to live next to it. Because we talked a bit earlier about your neighbors having a birthday party and you tolerating it. I think it's one thing to tolerate a genuine annual celebration, once a year birthday party. It's another thing to tolerate a party every other day because different groups of people come in. And they also bring in parking problems with them. So actually, the Airbnb complaints affects bungalow houses the worst compared to the Sohos and the studio apartments and the condominiums.
Mm, okay. You brought up parking. What can people do to protect their parking space? Is it illegal or illegal to...
Strictly speaking, under Malaysian law, the roadside parking is illegal. Full stop. Whether it's a yellow line, white line, no line, roadside parking under the Road Transport Act, an Act of Parliament. So please don't hound your local council.
So at any point in time, somebody is committing a crime just by parking the
millions of Malaysians are committing crimes by parking their cars outside their terrace house. Yeah. That is because over the years, the law has not caught up with the change in lifestyle. It used to be houses were big. If you look at the older part of PJ, section 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, you see that the houses were big and people had one car at the most. Everyone could park their car inside the house. Times change. Houses got smaller. Bungalows became semi-D, became terrace houses. Cars got more. Two cars became normal. Now 4 or 5 cars is normal per house. And so parking is an issue. I hope that the new Minister of Transport can look into updating the regulation on parking outside the house. Or maybe he could save himself the headache and delegate this power from the federal government to the municipal councils and let them figure out how to regulate this. Right. So Singapore has regulated parking by the roadside, but in front of your house, in cases you are allowed, and in, there are some cases you're not allowed, but they've drawn up some comprehensive guidelines, which are pretty interesting and we should consider emulating. But for now, legally speaking, it's you're not supposed to park. However, we accept the fact that everyone parks. So please learn to compromise with your neighbor, work out a system, a scheme on how you will share the spaces in front of your house. Because it's got to be by that method. It's got to be that you find a win-win negotiation with your neighbor.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario is the local council comes in and then summons everyone. But that's really not what we are trying to achieve.
So while, you know, the residents associations and JMBs of Malaysia try to work around some guidelines where everybody can adhere to, is there some, you know, parameters where they have to adhere, follow? Like they can't just impose a rule by majority, right? That only white cars are allowed to park here, for example.
Well, technically, they can't impose any rule because you can't change laws made in parliament. Yeah. But what they can do is create an understanding. Mm. Like, okay, you know what? We'll park the cars. We all have not enough cars. We will park only in front of our house. Let's have a gentleman's agreement not to park in front of each other's houses because then each other is inconvenienced. So it is a gentleman understanding. Mm. Resident associations and JMBs can't make rules on this. One is because you can't enforce anything. But second of all, if it's not a gentleman understanding, it's not going to work.
Mm.
And people are just not going to respect it, follow it, and you can't enforce against it. So it's best that you work out. And I think by far and large, we've got like a million landed houses in Malaysia. And the vast majority of them have learned to live in harmony, especially on the issue of parking. I would hope that you could work it out with your neighbors. If you're listening to this show and you are having challenges with your neighbors is with regard to parking space, first of all, try to maximize the space in your house if you could, because a lot of times we don't park the car in our house because it's inconvenient. And then try to work out an understanding and maybe be willing to walk just a little bit further to park your car peacefully.
Mm. Just 1 million landed properties. We have 7 million households in it. So 6 million of them live
terrace houses. Terrace houses, about 1 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, it's better to be nice than to live in a toxic environment. So
yeah.
Thank you again. So as mentioned earlier, if you would like to continue this conversation, you know, text us your grievances or feedback or what we can do about dealing with terrible neighbors. The number again is 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. You could also get in touch with us via Facebook or email us biggerpicture@bfm.my. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.